So she opened the door, smiling, to a slightly surprised Admiral Nek Boatu.
"Answering the door yourself, Natasi," he said, his voice warm with amused affection. "Next thing you'll tell me is you've cooked the dinner."
She laughed at that, waving him in and embracing him as he entered.
"Never, Nek. I didn't claw my way up the ranks to prepare my own meals."
"I find it restful on occasion," Boatu said. "But I imagine you didn't invite me here for my crowd-pleasing recipe for nerve steaks with gravy and mashed taku roots."
Dala smiled a little and moved to the bar.
"I'm afraid not. Another time, perhaps."
Nek sighed.
"When we're both retired," he said.
She shot him a smile over her shoulder.
"Maybe then,"
she agreed. She indicated the array of bottles.
"The usual?"
The Bothan smiled.
"Please,"
he said. Dala busied herself with the drink, then walked it over to him. Boatu lifted the glass and clinked it lightly against hers.
"To absent friends," he said,
his voice far gentler than most had ever heard it. She ought to have expected the toast, and yet her smile faltered.
"To absent friends,"
Dala said, her voice not revealing the sudden, quick pain. They drank, then she indicated the couch. He sat down, holding his glass, regarding her thoughtfully.
"Your uncle is causing me no end of trouble," Dala said.
She sank down onto the sofa beside him, a Nexu comfortable and at ease in her own den, her body language open. Boatu laughed.
"Uncle Irmuth," he said. "I imagine he is. He's very good at what he does, you know, when he's able to do it."
"Hmm,"
she agreed dryly, then inquired,
"What do you mean, able to do it?"
"Uncle Irmuth is quite elderly by Bothan standards,"
Boatu said.
"He's always been a bit eccentric. You've seen how he dresses."
Dala nodded.
"I have," she said. "I always thought that was part of his strategy, to charm the jury with his slightly out-of-date, slightly odd mannerisms."
"Oh, I would never say that it wasn't calculated,"
Nek agreed.
"But the lines between calculatedly offbeat and not exactly sane can blur from time to time."
"Really? I will keep that in mind. Thank you."
"Don't dismiss him either,"
Nek said.
"I know that it sounds like a contradiction, but as I said, he is very, very good at what he does. Your open and shut case is likely not quite as open and shut as you think."
Dala sighed. She had been leaning toward him in an affectionate manner, but sorrow seemed to settle upon her fine features, and she turned away slightly. Facing toward the window, the bright multicolored lights dancing on her skin, she said quietly,
"You spoke of absent friends, Nek. Gil was one of them. So was Char Niathal. I know too many now."
Understanding shone in his dark eyes.
"Ah, I see. Well, we all do, Natasi. That's the price of growing old, I suppose."
"Speak for yourself," she said with forced lightness.
"I do. You, my dear, will never grow old. Ambition keeps you young."
He lifted his glass in mock salute. She smiled half-heartedly.
"I'm not sure about that. The last few weeks have aged me quite a bit, I'm afraid."
"The situation with the Jedi and the Mandos,"
Nek said knowingly. She turned to him, an old friend and more than an old friend who, thank any deities there might and might not be, was not yet absent. Not yet.
"I feel no qualms about any decisions I've made in the area so far. I was right in how I handled Skywalker and the Mad Jedi, and still feel comfortable with what's going on there. But these uprisings..."
Her eyes were intense as she spoke.
"These are fires, Nek. They're little fires right now, barely more than wisps of smoke on worlds that most people haven't even heard of. And if they have heard of them, they wouldn't care. At least that's how it's been.